Michael Ratner, at the time that we're taping this show, it looks as though the U.S. might be considering drone attacks on Iraq.
You know, it's hard to believe this country sometimes. I mean, it's impossible. I mean, Michael and I are the same age. You're a little younger, Heidi. Well, I know, a lot younger. Maybe, what are you, 30 now? But in any case, not to make fun of this, but Michael and I have been basically fighting against war since we were kids. I mean, World War II is one thing. Of course, they could have done something by not arming the Germans. But then we had the Korean War. Then we had Vietnam. Then we had all kinds of other stuff. Then we had the Central American Wars. Then we had the Iraq War, first number one. Then we had number two Iraq War. And, of course, that's the one that you could argue brought us to where we are now, where we had a war that was utterly supported by the press, the Times, the media, you know, all these people, from people like Anne Marie Slaughter, who supported it, now regrets it, George Packer, quote, New Yorker liberal, now regrets it, all these people who our friend Tony Jute, the writer from the UK, called Bush's useful idiots. So you have all of these Bush's useful idiots who supported the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, which was about the only stability Iraq has probably seen in 100 years. And now they basically, the biblical expression is, sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. So now we're reaping the whirlwind. And one of the things that we talk about here is, how do these people who gave us the illegal war in Iraq and supported it, including Tom Friedman, our wonderful guy at the New York Times, all of these people, Bush's useful idiots, how are they put in newspapers, how are they put on TV to tell us again that we have to go to war with Iraq or with Syria or name your country in the Middle East? I mean, these people should be drummed out of the country. They should be drummed off the pages of the New York Times, drummed off the TV. I don't know. We can talk about some specifics, but there's one today that really threw me completely. There I see, I open the New Times, and I see a huge op-ed.
The New York Times, yeah, your favorite paper.
By Anne Marie Slaughter, saying...
Aptly named.
Right, yes. Now I think she's at some foundation, but she was head of actually the ASIL, American Society of International Law, professor at Princeton, et cetera, et cetera.
She's a lawyer.
She's basically, she's basically your Samantha Power who's not in government, which is to say, a humanitarian interventionist. Use military whenever you can to save human beings, when in fact, if you look at every time they've done it, it basically kills more people and leads to where we are in Iraq. So there's Anne Marie Slaughter writing this big op-ed about, we have to intervene in Syria, stop the jihadists in Syria, that's what's leading into Iraq and all this. This is the same person who, as I said, supported the war in Iraq initially, now regrets it, and bragged to me once on a Twitter that she had supported really what happened in Libya, because look what it did for women or something like that. I mean, I don't recall it exactly. But as I recall, she supported the war in Libya. And look what we got in Libya. We got complete, utter chaos in Libya. So the U.S. can't do anything in Libya. And there was an interview the other day, a long New York Times article. It was about some general who's going to be in charge of counterinsurgency in Africa.
Right.
And he basically said, well, what happened is there's no stability in Libya, so we can't do much in Libya. And what happened is the people then went in and conquered, after we overthrew them, they went and conquered northern Mali. So now the jihadists are in northern Mali. We've covered that on this program. But so there you got from Libya, supported by really every one of these liberal humanitarian interventionists, from Samantha Power to Anne Marie Slaughter to all these other characters out there. They got us Libya. They then got us Iraq, and they got us Afghanistan. So we're talking about a situation here in which, as Michael Smith often says, there's one party but two wings. What is it you said? We only have one party in this country. And you see it with all these people wanting to intervene. But that they keep dragging these people back out to tell us that we have to go to war again, I find to be absolutely amazing. I mean, we've completely destroyed the stability, whatever stability there was in the Middle East, completely destroyed it. And then, of course, when they overthrew Morsi in Egypt, the U.S. didn't do a thing. Here's a coup happening, and they now are basically hand in glove with a dictatorship in Egypt that's a killer dictatorship, a so-called election. Of course, that was not really that, and in which a democratically elected government was overthrown. So I don't know what else to say except drum these people off the papers. This is why we need programs like Law and Disorder and all the other alternative media we have out there.
Here,
guys,
here.
Anything else?
Here, here.
I just want to recall a story that happened years ago, but it gives you an idea of what the United States is able to do and rationalizes doing and why we're so hated around the globe. 60 Minutes had an interview by Leslie Stahl with then Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. And this is back in the 90s after the sanctions that the United States brought against Iraq to try to destabilize it. Leslie Stahl asked Madeleine Albright, she said, "Madam Secretary, I understand that as a consequence of the American sanctions against Iraq, some 600,000 children have died. Do you think that this is justified?" And Albright thought about it for a moment, and she said, "Yes, I do." That was the beginning of what they've done to Iraq. We then saw shock and awe, the destruction of Fallujah, the driving out of Saddam and the Sunnis, who had been the ruling elements in Iraq for many decades, and the beginnings of sectarian warfare, and the utter destruction of the infrastructure of that country, so that people are refugees, they're homeless, they're unemployed, they're absolutely desperate. Into that situation, you know, you now have Americans talking about how they want to bomb Iraq. What good could come from bombing those people yet again? And that's the kind of discussion we're having. And they're trotting out these people from years ago after 9/11 when they said that Saddam, they lied, and they said Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, and they said Saddam was in league with Al-Qaeda. Lies. And based on those lies, they committed the supreme crime, a war of aggression. They dismantled Iraq. And now what do they want to do in the turmoil that's happening there? They want to bomb them again. This is the moral level that the leadership of this country and both parties represent.
Just remember, as Hillary Clinton tries to become president of the United States, just remember her vote on Iraq. She voted in favor of the Iraq war. She did it, whether she believed it or not, I doubt she believed it, that there were weapons of mass destruction there or chemical weapons or anything else. She did it because she thought she could become president back then by showing herself as a warmonger. In fact, she probably is a warmonger. She's certainly one of Bush's useful idiots, and that should never, never, never be forgotten. And just remember, what did Martin Luther King say about the United States back in mid-60s? He said, "The United States is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world." What remains true today? The United States is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world.